Welcome to Day Zero Update for October 15th, 2023. I'm your host, Chris Elogi.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
And I'm Janrab Victoria.
Yeah, we got a busy week this week. Maybe not a ton of news, but a lot of big stuff, as we've had a certain acquisition close on the spookiest day of the year.
Yep.
We got a certain CEO resigning that people have been wanting to for the past bit here.
Mm-hmm.
We got some PS Plus news here, a new PS5 that's on the way. I'll tell you a bit about that. And we got a weird video from Nintendo about Bowser's taste in women.
Yeah.
That is very interesting and not surprising, but just interesting that that is what's going on here. So, but yeah, before we get to that stuff, we'll talk about what I've been playing here. And I'll kick it off here with, I've been playing some Honkai Star Rail, the newest of the games from the Genshin Impact developer, HoYoverse.
Yeah.
This has been on PC and mobile for a while, but finally came to console on the PS5. Played through the first chunk of the game. You're on this space station that's been overrun by these alien creatures from the, I forget what they call the group. It's it's a weird name, but it's a JRPG, turn-based JRPG essentially, with its combat system being pretty interesting, as you know, you get the timeline of who's going to attack when, and your attacks can affect that in some ways. It's not as strategic, at least so far, as a lot of games that have that stuff do it, but you're definitely wanting to pay attention, like who's coming up closest to do attacks. But enemies have usually at least two elemental weaknesses to them. You see them just sitting above their health bar there, so you're kind of paying attention to the party mix you have, which initially you just have a wind guy, an ice girl, and your character is sort of a blade, I guess the icon is. It's kind of like the two swords crossed, though you have a bat. So, but you, like Genshin Impact, you pick the gender of your character, though it doesn't really affect anything. It's still the same kind of generic design that you don't get to really change much of. So, and later on in that area, you get a fourth person who is a fire lady who has an interesting ability that sort of powers up as you attack weaknesses, kind of stuff, to get like an extra attack out of that. So that is pretty neat. And then she disappears as you make a decision about what you're going to do first with your potential, not freedom, but next part of the story that you're going to do. But yeah, you're kind of spending a lot of your time figuring out what's attacks you're going to do. You have a basic attack and then a special attack, that the special attacks are garnered by, you know, a bar that fills up to five uses of those special attacks, but that, I think that potentially persists between fights. I haven't paid that much attention. It took me a little bit until there was like a tutorial tip that mentioned that the that counter persists between fighters. I thought that was per fighter for a bit, because it just kept changing in ways that made it a little hard to pay attention to. But it's a neat little system, and they make some good use of it for like boss fights and such, where the big boss fight you do in that first area, you're fighting this big dragon creature that you're essentially getting like three parts of it, like left and right fist, and then a like a core thing that does attacks. And so you're trying to take out all three.
Yeah.
Because when you do, you kind of knock the dragon out to do some core damage to the dragon. That kind of stuff. But the stuff you're doing up to that point, you're kind of trying to, you know, play around with all that. And it's a very neat kind of battle system to it. And playing here from the start, they do give you a number of opportunities to get the currency for doing rolls of the gacha stuff. I have like 7 or 8 characters already, and there's some, you know, like in Genshin Impact, you could do trials of characters. So you kind of get them for a little bit to try them out and potentially do some specific content tied to them. That is also here. It has a lot of extra content. There's a whole metaverse thing that is this character sort of takes you into this simulated environment that you're kind of getting perks out of it. It's like roguelike kind of perks out of it. As you're beating enemies and leveling up in that, initially it's not too long, but I assume you go for longer runs there to grind out currency and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, it's pretty solid from what I've seen so far, fully voiced. So that's nice. And it has, you know, auto advanced features. So you can just sit there and listen to the characters talking, that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, your character, I forget if your character has a voice. They typically don't, but I think they do in some small instances. But I moved on to another place, another planet that's is being affected by a thing called, they call it a Stellaron, which somehow has also been, you know, you have one of those infused into your body. So you're like a very weird specimen character of sorts. So you're trying to figure out what's going on with that and how it's affecting these other planets and all this kind of stuff. And narrative, it's pretty neat. So you're kind of part of this elite task force that is, you know, riding the star rails to other planets to help out and figure out what's going on and all that, that give you, you know, opportunities for more places to explore and take on extra you know, quests and all that kind of stuff. So it's very much one of those kind of games. But it seems pretty solid so far. And I have not gotten to the part where I see other people yet. I assume that comes in, but I'm like 4 or 5 hours in. I still haven't gotten to that yet. So I'll have to see what's going on. But it is weird getting characters out of the gacha that you're like, oh, I don't know who this character is, but they seem nice. And then you get to them in the story and they're assholes. And you're like, oh, okay, whatever. Okay. And the weird like dissonance that happens with that. Well, I got the perfect version because they have no personality here in my party, but in the story they do. So there you go. That's Honkai Star Rail out on PS5 now, but also PC and mobile for people who want to check that out. I've also been playing some Assassin's Creed Mirage, some more of that. I'm about like 7-8 hours into that. Enjoying it a lot so far. Engaging with more of the main story stuff. So that's been pretty fun. Had one weird area where I died because I was trying to play around in this mission and I end up in a bad place and got tripped up with some of the parry stuff. I try to do the parries, but there's a little less of a window for those than just dodging. So I'm still trying to get a hang of that stuff, but still liking it a lot. And then I played some demos from the Steam Next Fest. Let's see, another Crab's Treasure. This is the indie Souls-like featuring a hermit crab that is pretty cute as well as pretty tough. Though once you start it, there are accessibility options in there for slowing it down, making certain things easier, all that kind of stuff. So if you want to tune it to be a little bit more your style, you can. They got a bunch of stuff in there, so they're probably going to be angering the Souls audience with accessibility options that are going to ruin it. So there you go. But it's plenty challenging on its own. Took me a bit to beat the first big boss in there, as your choice of shells gives you a special ability that I had a pop can on, and that basically shot out a bunch of these bubbles. And as the enemy gets closer to them, they sort of heat sink to them. But the boss was playing around at times, so it wouldn't necessarily jump in at me at times. But once you use up your meter of that stuff, you have to get hits with the enemies to fill it back up. Mm-hmm. So that's something I was playing around with. It took me like 5 or 6 times to beat the boss, but eventually figured it out.
Mm.
And then, yeah, this demo has 2 levels in it. It has like a tutorial level and then another level from probably not too long into the game that explains some other things about it that I was a little surprised to see explained then, but not in the tutorial area. Or not explained well, I guess. But that's where it started running worse for me on my PC. Might have been because I was also recording stuff, but that second area was a little rough around the edges, but that game's not out for a while still, so I'm not expecting it to run super well all the time. So I did try that one on my Steam Deck, and it did not run very well there on the default settings. So, but that seems like it's going to be a neat game. Looking forward to that, because it definitely has a lot of fun stuff to it. Yeah, had some fun little options for shells that change things up. There's like a party hat that is like a way of interrupting attacks, which made a lot of sense for that boss. But if your shell has a certain amount of health to it, and if the boss or other enemies do enough damage to it, it destroys it. And then if you die in a fight, you just respawn without any shell.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like this weird element of trying to die without losing the shell, because they give you an extra shell just in case you're taking a lot of damage.
Mm-hmm.
For that kind of stuff. But it also has, you know, Estus Flask type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Of which you spawn with enough that you have like an extra one right before this boss area. So I kind of had to activate it to drop the thing and then just kind of pick it up, which pushes it forward, and just drop it into the boss area. So I had an extra health flying around in there.
Mm-hmm.
Some fun little stuff there, but that seems like that's going to be a neat game. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Deep Rock Galactic Survivor. This is the Vampire Survivors clone based in the world of Deep Rock Galactic, which is sort of a big whole co-op mining survival thing where you are a bunch of gnomes in different classes, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. They carry that over here into the Vampire Survivors thing, mm-hmm. where, at least in this demo, the one stage they have has, I think it's 5 levels that you go through.
Mm-hmm.
You're essentially going along a timeline of killing enemies, and this bar slowly fills up as you do that, where you get a big dropship coming in to give you some sort of perk, mm-hmm. and then you just have special enemies spawning every so often until the final elite enemy that shows up, the boss of that stage,
mm-hmm.
That stalks around and, you know, goes at you, and you try to run away and do your automatic attacks to it. You do get to mine. There's sort of rocks around, like solid rock that you kind of mine into. And so as you level up, you kind of get options, you know, of 3 different things to, you know, stats to boost up. And mm-hmm. one of those can be mining speed or, you know, more HP or upgrading some of your weapons. 'Cause every 5 levels, I think, your character gets, you get an additional weapon. So you start with a basic, like a rifle of some sort. There might be like an SMG. But that thing, like once you run out of ammo, it reloads and it's pretty slow. So you're very much, you know, trying to stay away from enemies, that kind of stuff, and improve your weapons and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Getting different currencies or materials. There's 2 main currencies. There's like a gold and there's like a red gold. I don't know what they call each of them, but between stages, you can use that to buy additional perks or refill your health if you need that. So you're going to just keep going, doing that same thing. And then if you die before you get before you beat the boss, you take some of the other currency stuff you've gotten and use that to upgrade stats, which, in this demo, you just have 1 class, 1 stage, and 1 like loadout for that. So it's fairly limited, but I did play a good bit of this. Played maybe for about an hour or 2 of that. Played pretty well on the Switch, on the Steam Deck. Mm-hmm. I was playing that and it was draining my battery pretty good. Mm. So that was a fun time. So Deep Rock Galactic Survivor, it's basically one of those games with a good budget to it to make it look really nice. It's kind of a 3D, very nice visual style to it and all that. So looks really nice. That's out early next year, and I think that's going to be at least PC. It might be on coming to consoles as well. I don't believe it's been announced just yet. And the other game I played is RoboCop Rogue City. This is the new game from Nacon and the developers Taeon, who made the Terminator Resistance game a few years ago. That was pretty solid for what it was. And this is, I think it's described in the Steam page as being set between RoboCop 2 and 3.
Mm-hmm.
Which I've seen neither of those, so that makes no sense to me. But you are dealing with, your stereotypical punks, other kind of punk rock art style and all that. They love to paint on the walls, mm-hmm. That the punks have taken over kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But you are RoboCop, played by Peter Weller, who's going in, and your basic pistol has infinite ammo, your Auto 9. And just destroys people,
mm-hmm.
As you're shooting them. Lots of excess blood and all that, shooting off of enemies as you kill them, that kind of stuff. But you can also pick up an alternate weapon from what they drop, which was mostly pistols and SMGs from what I saw. But they basically take over this TV station at the beginning of the game,
mm-hmm.
and you go in with your cop buddy. Lewis, I think it was, Lady Cop, that's, I assume, is from RoboCop 2. I have not seen much of RoboCop. I've seen one, like, maybe twice. I don't remember a ton about it outside of Red Foreman and,
mm-hmm.
you know, the gruesome creation of RoboCop scene stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this seems to have some pretty solid gameplay to it. You kind of have a little bit of the scanning vision stuff, mostly for, you know, analyzing certain things, but it also can highlight enemies as they go around, just give them an outline to it, that kind of stuff. As you're walking around, you want to look in you know closets and such for, you know, evidence that gives you more points and maybe XP, kind of stuff, you know, nuke that's been left around and incriminating papers and all this kind of stuff. But it seems like a game that's taking itself probably about as seriously as it should. And then also just taking opportunities to be fun, as like you're going through these offices and you're picking up, you know, CRT monitors and throwing them like grenades, fun stuff like that, that they don't have a great explosion range. So I have not killed anybody with one, but, it's still pretty fun for what it is. So it looks like it's going to be a pretty solid game, and that's out November 2nd. So that's out pretty soon. It's only on the new consoles, PS5 and Xbox Series X and S and PC. I did not run super well on my PC here. So I ended up not recording a video for it. But yeah, long load times for me as well. Might just be not having it on an SSD, but it's also like a 30 gig demo. So I wasn't willing to give it a ton of space for that, but that seems like it's going to be a pretty solid game and maybe the best RoboCop game ever.
Mm.
There's not been very many of those that are not dog shit, especially that Xbox game that was just terrible from what's their face? The Superman 64 people. I forget what the developer was of that, but yeah, this looks like it's going to be pretty solid. One of these. So there you go. That's been pretty much everything I've been playing. So Brandon, what have you been doing?
Well, as for me, I finished the Phantom Liberty expansion for Cyberpunk 2077, and it was amazing. Just a fantastic piece of work. Absolutely. I said it before, I will continue to say it 1,000 more times, a masterclass in scenario writing. It's got some amazing characters with some fantastic writing. A lot of, you know, alliances are made. There's betrayal. There's all kinds of just amazing twists and turns in the story. And there's like some major, you know, decisions that you have to make through it. One of which can actually get you an entirely new ending for the game, although it's not necessarily a good ending. Not that I mean the ending was made badly. No, it's just, it's a very sad ending, let's put it that way. But, yeah, just it was all done really well. And if this is the quality that we're looking for going forward, let's just say that I have a lot of hope for what the sequel's going to be like. They're calling it Project Orion at the moment, but it's a fairly, you know, terribly kept secret that it's supposed to be the next Cyberpunk game. But yeah, so I did that. So now I'm basically kind of going through like all the side stuff that's in the expansion, and, you know, stuff like that. And I'm also playing Starfield too, not as much, but it's, you know, I'm still playing it. And, you know, I mean, it's fun, it's enjoyable, but it is a Bethesda game with all that entails. And it's not as buggy now as it was when it was released, but, like, it's very obvious, you know, the tech is old, and it's definitely showing its age. So it really is time for Bethesda to move on and make another engine, because this one's starting to show its age. But yeah, that's what I've been doing. So, Danrib, what about you?
Yeah, I've been playing this game called Long Gone Days. I think it came out officially this Tuesday. This is something that I first played at PAX like last month. And this is an indie game developed mostly by one person, and she's been on it for quite a few years now. And it basically follows this sniper who lives like underground and hasn't seen like the outside world. And there's a lot of like political turmoil going on. So basically what happens is he's recruited to replace another sniper, and like sniping is all he knows. And then all of a sudden he's put on this mission, and on this mission he kills innocents. And like, that's not what he was like, you know, put here to do. And then, you know, you use him to just sort of be a radical in this war that you're fighting. You end up in Germany, and you know, find out that the thing that the military was doing was just trying to start a war that never was supposed to happen, and things like that. And it's really, really interesting. The game pretty much borrows a lot out of JRPGs, even though I don't think there's a single JRPG developer on this team, and it's turn-based. So, like, if you were to look at screenshots or a trailer, it sort of resembles something like an Earthbound or things like that. But then the battle system is just purely turn-based, like, old-school Persona kind of thing. And, again, it's military-based, so everybody here is a gun, so you can do things like choose someone to attack, and you can aim for their arms to disable them. You can aim for their chest for a higher fire rate, or you can aim for their head for more damage. When you aim for the head, obviously, like, you know, you'll hurt them more, but at the same time, it's harder to hit a head. And it's weird because when I'm playing the game, like, obviously I want to inflict as much damage as possible, and I find myself just aiming for the head every single time. And yeah, like, there are times where I do miss, but like, there's never been a point where I felt like I was really being punished for always aiming for the head. So like, if I were to nitpick anything about the battle system, that would be it there. But so far, I think I'm near the end. I've heard this game's only about 10 hours, and I've played this game for about 7 hours. And I'm really enjoying it so far. I don't think it's going to win, like, you know, Indie Game of the Year or anything. But if you're looking for a, you know, a shortish RPG with a story that is, you know, not exactly cliche the whole way through, like, this would definitely be it. And I definitely recommend it.
I remember playing the demo for this, like, years ago. Yeah, I do remember this. I didn't know it had finally come out.
Yeah, it finally came out, and like I don't even know like how long this game has been in development. When I was playing the build at PAX, what really impressed me was the fact that not only are you doing like, you know, like your standard turn-based battle system, but there's also like some actual real sniping involved. It felt like an arcade game in that regard. Mm-hmm. But then one thing that I forgot to mention is that as you enter these different territories, like I mentioned, like we were in Kaliningrad in the first section, and then all of a sudden you're in Germany. Like, you know, your character only speaks English. So he's meeting other people to join this party that speaks, you know, whatever language they're in, whether it be German or something else. And like seeing the different kinds of cultural barriers that these characters have to deal with really adds to like the realism of the game. You know, obviously you aren't going to have like a turn-based war, but the actual puzzle solving and exploration of these cities has been really cool so far. But there are points where the game definitely does feel aged. Like, for example, I've been playing the game on Switch, and apparently it's been a long bug where you couldn't use the control stick. And then eventually, once they patched that out, there was no ability to like move around diagonally, which is, you know, pretty much unheard of in this day and age. But you know, it is what it is there. But yeah, again, this game has been in development for a long time. It definitely shows, but at the same time, it does have enough polish where I'd say it's definitely something that I'd recommend as soon as I finish it. Unless like the ending like does not land, which I doubt happens, this is definitely a solid one that I really like. And again, I'm playing it on Switch, and the game is available on just about every platform. Moving on, Wild Card Football also came out this week. Wild Card Football is made by, I believe, Saber, and they're the same people that did like the NBA Playground games. And this is like, you know, similar in that regard. Like the one football game that I'll compare this game to is NFL Street, with the main difference being they're still kicking. And unlike NFL Street, like you have your complete offense and defensive roster, assuming you're playing 7-on-7 football. This game is partnered with the NFLPA. So you pretty much have all of the NFL starters in there. Obviously, if you look at the game's cover, like, you know, Colin Kaepernick is like the main person that's really like, you know, promoting it. But at the end of the day, like, this is pretty much like an NFL Street clone and comparative sort of game. So the main difference is, as I mentioned before, is that there's kicking. So you can go ahead and kick and punt. But at the same time, there's also quarters. I believe NFL Street was just halves. And as far as like, you know, the gameplay, it's very arcadey. It feels like Madden in the sense where like things like jukes and spins and sprinting are done with the same buttons. But the big difference is that, you know, everybody is like super cartoony, has big muscles and stuff like that. And what I'm really trying to understand is the actual wild card system. So as you progress through like each game, eventually you'll have what are called wild cards. And basically, when you choose a play, whether on offense or defense, you'll have access to three cards, and they're just power-ups that you can use. So they can go ahead and make your team faster, they can make your team stronger, or you can use cards that'll make the other team weaker, or however it may be. There are even cards so for example, to use these cards, you have to have a certain like amount of like magic points to use them. For the sake of this, I'm just going to go ahead and call them magic points. And if you use too many, you know, on one play, or if you use too many consecutively, you won't be able to use any wild cards in the next play. So that's the element of strategy you have there. But it is possible to go ahead and play through a full game without using any of them. But of course, you'll be at a disadvantage if you decide not to use anything. And that's where the strategy comes in. You can do things like cancel out your opponent's cards. You can go ahead and save them for when you really want to use them and things like that. And that's part of what makes the game's loop so interesting. Because, you know, aside from like, you know, just getting better with your players, you can also just create certain decks that you can use for whatever situation. So it feels like both a card game and a football game. And it's just an interesting way to go ahead and make that useful. But yeah, the game is pretty outlandish. You have some hard hits. You have some crazy touchdown celebrations that you probably wouldn't see in the NFL. At the same time, it is an NFLPA licensed game. So again, you're dealing with the real players there. And for the most part, it's been super accurate. Obviously, me being a Packers fan, I'm using Team Love. And, you know, the Niners have Brock Purdy and all that. So it's interesting to see. You're not seeing any real NFL names. You know, you're not seeing Packers. You're not seeing Browns or anything like that. It's just going to be mostly team names. But from what I've played so far, and I've only played about two full games, I'm really enjoying it. You know, it's not going to replace Madden or anything like that. It's more of a fun alternative. But you know, if you're looking for any sort of arcadey football sim, this one is actually pretty solid, and I'm really liking it so far. But yeah, that's about it. I'm looking forward to, you know, next week when all these huge games come out. So it's nice to have this little break.
Yeah. So yeah, let's get to our news here. First up here, we have the PS Plus game catalog for October, and they are taking advantage of the month that we have here with some spooky games. So yeah, let's see here. Yeah, the big game, much like Game Pass, Gotham Knights is on here for the PS5. So you don't have to put any actual money down to check it out and see that it's an all right game.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, not what people wanted from a new game in the Arkham universe.
Yeah,
of sorts. So yeah, there you go for that. Let's see, for PS5 and PS4, Disco Elysium, The Final Cut.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a big deal game here is this is sort of a computer RPG style game, but without the action to it. Mm-hmm. It's mostly all dialogue there. And it's really well written, as you're playing a detective who has his own big issues going on, but you're meeting up with your partner and trying to figure out, you know, what's going on around here, dealing with people and situations and doing all that kind of stuff. And you have a lot of freedom to go at things in different ways that can lead you to a variety of endings.
Yeah. And it's also like hilariously unpredictable at the same time. I did a review for this game a little while back. It's still an amazing game. It's amazing. It is legitimately amazing play, and it will find ways to constantly surprise you. It's also funny, like legitimately laugh out loud funny at times. There are moments in there where I was just rolling on the floor out of breath because it was so funny. And what's also really interesting is the way that it sort of slowly reveals the universe that the game takes place in. It has this weird sort of sense of like, oh, it's our world. No, wait, it's kind of our world, but not. And it's just, it gets weirder and weirder from there. Highly recommend.
Yeah, it's a very neat game. I know I remember the intro part where you're kind of going through dealing with like the intense like hangover your character has, and you can kind of just convince yourself that you don't really exist and just end the game right there.
Mm-hmm.
Some real fun ways of getting out of the game real early on. So, but yeah, there's that. And we'll get to some more spooky games here. The Dark Picture Anthology, House of Ashes, PS5 and PS4. This is, I think, the most recent one of these.
Mm-hmm.
That is set in the Middle East, I believe, as you're part of a military unit that's investigating this area that ends up dealing with some secret historical, you know, thing that's going on and killing people and dealing with all the stuff that goes with that. So there you go for that. It's sort of the developers of Until Dawn, that kind of narrative adventure game of sorts. So there you go for that.
Mm-hmm.
For the PS4, Alien Isolation, that is not the most recent Alien game, but one that tries to be in the continuum of the movies. As you're playing, 15 years after the events of Alien, you're playing as Ellen Ripley's daughter, Amanda, who is doing her own stuff, but runs into this space station that the Xenomorphs have taken over. And yeah, this is a game that's really gonna fuck with you if you're, not immune to the scariness of the Xenomorphs,
because
you're running around hiding, avoiding these creatures that can get into a lot of the same places that you can hide into, but
yeah,
ways that just really good at fucking with you, as well as having a bunch of robots around that are also willing to kill you if you run across them. So. Yeah, it's a very, very effective game.
Mm-hmm.
For something a little less spooky, but Dead Island Definitive Edition for the PS4, the loot, RPG game that's, was marketed in a very weird way, considering how it turns out as a game to be kind of like Borderlands, but zombies.
Yeah.
Essentially. But all melee weapons, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's a neat game, but very different from the others. Let's see. Oh, yeah, back to the freaky, scary games. The Outlast 2 for PS4. That's the, the follow-up to the hit horror game Outlast. This time you're playing with two characters. I believe you can also do some co-op with that. But that's got its own thing going on. I think that's it for the scary games, but let's see. Next up here, Elite Dangerous for the PS4. Mm-hmm. That is the big space survival epic game of sorts. Mm-hmm. You're flying around in a spaceship doing missions. You can do, running supplies around and trying to make money off the market, the trading markets and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And getting better ships and all that. So that's a neat one of those games.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Far Changing Tides. This is a sort of a 2D platformer adventure game of sorts. One of my favorite games from last year. The second of these games, I think it was Far Lone Sails, was the first game. This is the follow-up that takes place in a flooded world where you're playing a character, a boy who finds a ship that can sort of sail through the oceans, and you're maintaining it to a degree, fueling it and all that kind of stuff and making sure it's doing what you want, and getting around to these really cool areas that kind of add a little bit of lore to the world around you. So that's one of those games that people should definitely check out. Let's see, Gungrave Gore. This is based on an anime that's is about, this dude that carries a big ass sword on his, or not sword, a gun on his back, that he's using to fight lots of enemies, all that kind of stuff. One of those like third person shooter type of games. So that's a neat game. Let's see, Eldest Souls. This is a 2D Souls-like for PS4 and PS5. So that's a neat game. I remember playing a Steam demo for that back in the day, and that's a neat little game. Last one here for the extra tier, Roki for PS4 and PS5. This is like an adventure game of sorts with a lot of puzzles and such as you're going around in this world. So that looks neat. So there you go for that. For the PlayStation Premium Classic stuff, let's see, two PSP games, maybe three or maybe four. Maybe there's all PSP games. There is Tekken 6.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, a pretty comparable version of Tekken 6. It's going to look a little bit worse than the console versions, but should be a pretty solid game there. And there's also Soul Calibur Broken Destiny, which was a PSP exclusive Soul Calibur game. I believe that's the one that has Kratos in it from God of War.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of stuff like that in there. We got Ape Escape Academy, the first game. We got the second one a while ago that I think was never came out in North America. But this one's probably somewhat similar, so you can check that out. And then the last game here is IQ Final, the sequel to IQ Intelligence Cube. I believe this is a PSP game, so yeah, that's a more of those kind of block puzzle stuff that's really tough to beat that first game. So yeah, there you go for that. That's the premium stuff, the classic. So four PSP games there. So that's pretty neat. And yeah, that's the lineup for this week or for this month. So pretty solid stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty good lineup. There's a whole bunch of games there that I've bought and never opened yet. And here they are. For free if you have the service. So Yeah, I don't know if I'll actually have time to try any of these, but I'm definitely I have my eyes on Disco Elysium and House of Ashes.
So there you go. Okay, IQ Final is a PlayStation game. There is a PS2 version of that, and there was another game made for PSP called IQ Mania that contains puzzles from all three previous games. So maybe we'll get that at some point. But there you go, some solid stuff there. And that wasn't all the PlayStation Plus news. There is news on the PS5 cloud streaming stuff that they announced earlier this year that is going to be launching this month. They have, different weeks for Japan, Europe, and North America from October 17th, so Tuesday in Japan, then the 23rd in Europe, and October 30th here in North America. This stuff will be going live. It's going to support, the top PS5 hits from the PS Plus game catalog, such as Miles Morales, Horizon Forbidden West, Ghost of Tsushima, Mortal Kombat 11, and Saints Row 4. PS5 game trials that are on PS Plus, you can also try through the streaming stuff. So Hogwarts Legacy, The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt, and Callisto Protocol are games you can play through that. They mentioned they will have a bunch of games, but they're talking about a selection of stuff right now. There'll be other stuff that if you own them, you can play them through this service. So Resident Evil 4, Dead Island 2, Genshin Impact, Fall Guys, and Fortnite. So you can play some of your free-to-play stuff and some recent games here on there. The features for this stuff, they support up to 4K streaming. So that's pretty neat. Support for all the DLC and such that are in those games. Enhanced audio support for all the 5.1, 7.1, and 3D audio stuff. If your setup supports it. And getting screenshots and up to 3 minutes of video to record in that. So you got a lot of that kind of stuff in there too. So that's neat. That'll be interesting to check out, especially the playing some of those premium PS Plus premium trials. I don't always get a chance to download that stuff, but if you can stream it, it might make it a little bit easier to try those games out for the time that they last. So that's neat. Cool. We'll be able to check that out here in a couple of weeks. And, the other bit of PlayStation news was that they announced the new PS5s, the slimmer designs that I think are about 30% smaller. Reduced in volume by more than 30%, weight by 18%, and 24% compared to the previous models. The panels on there that, if you, replace the or put a new SSD in there, you've tried that stuff out. It's now spread out into four separate panels. They break off in four different parts or two different parts. While the top portion is glossy, the bottom portion is matte. If you get the PS5 digital edition, they will be offering an Ultra HD Blu-ray disc drive that you can attach to it. So it's kind of a bit more modular that way. So if you want to get that later, you can get it for a little bit cheaper. $80 for that. Where's the prices at? There they are. Okay. No, it isn't a little bit cheaper. The digital edition is now $449.99 US instead of $400. While the disc drive is $500 still. So they've raised the price of the digital edition a little bit for that, which makes sense with the price of the disc drive. Probably just trying to push people into the disc version either way. But I wouldn't be surprised if that disc drive goes on sale at times as well. So, but it'll be out in November at select local retailers as well as PlayStation Direct. And they say once the inventory of the current PS5 bundles sold out, the new PS5 will become the only model available. So if you want the current models of PS5, you should be getting those ASAP. Seems like they're just going to let that supply run out, and then these will be out to replace them. The other weird thing they're doing, they're selling, let's see, they have a horizontal stand that's included with it, and it's a new look kind of thing. Because I think if you've seen the setup they have for the current PS5, it's like one that kind of transforms a little bit depending on whether you put it horizontal or vertical. And yeah, it seems like they have made this thing just for the horizontal version. The vertical stand is a separate thing, and they're selling that separately for $30, which is a little bit much. You know, these things are $450 and $500, just include the stand with it. Because minus, you know, standing up, and that's the way it's always been. So, but yeah, let's see. They're also going to be selling some of the PS5 console cover colors, the alternate colors stuff early next year. So you can check that stuff out. That'll be $54.99 for the new versions if you're getting this thing. So yeah, there you go. It's all the same system and all that. Maybe some minor changes in some of the internal stuff to make it a little bit cheaper to make, but yeah, it's going to do all the same stuff here. Just you get a horizontal stand, but not a vertical stand with it. Yeah, there you go. Neat look to it. Looks a little bit smaller from the way people have lined these up side by side. So yeah, it's definitely noticeable shrinkage. So yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised they went with a design that's so similar to the original PS5, but I guess they just wanted to go ahead and maintain that aesthetic. This is definitely a move that was expected and needed, because as we know, the PS5 is huge, takes up a whole lot of space. But yeah, I don't think I'll be in the market for this. I would prefer a Pro line, but yeah, I mean, this is a pretty good replacement for what's already on the market, and hopefully there's enough to spare.
Yeah. But yeah, so yeah, there's the new PS5. It'll be out here in a few weeks for people to check out. So yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
For that, let's see. That's it for the PlayStation news. Next up here, we got a game for you to check out here for the Halloween season. Frog Detective, The Entire Mystery. That will be out October 26th for PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch. This is a neat little indie game that has been worked on for a while. It's been on PC for a while, but now they've got the whole bundle coming to the consoles. It looks like it'll also be on Game Pass as well. These are sort of narrative adventure games. Seems like it's three separate Frog Detective games come together. So, but they're very silly games about your frog detective, you know, trying to solve these mysteries and whatnot and having fun along the way. Actually, yeah, the first one's called The Haunted Island. There's The Case of the Invisible Wizard. And then The Corruption at Cowboy County. So I've seen the first one being played, and it's a very cute, silly and little spooky game for that. So perfect if you're looking for something for the Halloween season. Is not like a horror game or anything. So yeah, there you go for that. Next up here for November 1st, Alien Hominid Invasion and Alien Hominid HD are launching for Xbox, Switch, and PC. HD is the original game, remastered for, you know, 4K and all that. Alien Hominid Invasion is the follow-up, new game made for you know, these platforms here. So let's see, Invasion will be $20 when it launches. Alien Hominid HD will be $12, and then they'll sell a bundle with both of them for $24.99, which is a pretty good price there for both of those games.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Alien Hominid is probably the biggest Flash game that was out there. Is a Newgrounds Flash game. Got a release on the GameCube back in the day as probably one of the first like real indie games that got released on a console like that. And then got an HD release on XBLA, which I think has been since renamed as Alien Hominid Xbox 360, something like that, to differentiate it from the new game that's called HD. Versus the old HD game, but yeah, supports four players, local and online, so you get all that kind of fun and see like the game that put the behemoth on the map as a developer and that style and all that. So yeah, that's cool to see. Looking forward to these games here. So yeah,
definitely looking forward to this one. I played a lot of Alien Hominid back in the Newgrounds days. It was a really really fun Flash game, and I never got a chance to play it when it came to consoles like a few years later, so this is another chance to do that.
And yeah, the next one here, a game concept that we have seen before, a Pac-Man Battle Royale game. But instead of Pac-Man 99, this is probably looks like a much better fit for the concept, as it's called Oh, it's got a very long name here. Pac-Man Mega Tunnel Battle Chomp Champs. Coming to everything, PlayStation, Xbox, Switch, and PC early 2024. It's a 64-player Battle Royale. And it essentially looks like you go into, like you have the tunnels in and out of areas, your maps. It has a, seems like it has a bunch of these in a big grid. And so you're kind of running into these with other people and trying to, you know, eat up all the dots, not get hit by the ghosts, that kind of stuff, and trying to be the last survivor and getting to the next area kind of thing. So that looks like a neat concept for that, for this ridiculously named game, but looks like they have a lot of customization for your pack person. You know, hats and colors and all that kind of stuff to them. Let's see what else it says here. There's elimination mode, features arcade style action against players of any rank. We earn tokens to trade for cosmetics. There's a ranked mode for serious competition against players of similar ranking. So that's neat. That's a concept that seems neat. So I don't know if it's going to be free to play or not, but they probably should be free to play based on what they're showing here. So, yeah. There you go. New Pac-Man Battle Royale game coming out next year. So, yeah. And let's get to a game that was supposed to come out this month, X-Defiant. Ubisoft has indefinitely delayed it because of inconsistencies in the game, as they've had they had a closed beta test late September and went through the feedback and all that that they got from that and basically said that, you know, they were planning this to launch it with a 6-week long preseason before their live service season started, that they have decided to delay it a good bit. I guess they were trying to get it out before the new Call of Duty and sort of when the game showed that it definitely wasn't ready for that. They decided to delay it to some unknown time frame. No idea when that's going to be, but maybe it'll be in like December or something. That seems like a time frame that might work best for them. They kind of get out of past the Call of Duty hubbub and kind of get to the part of the year where there not much is releasing in December. But yeah. Ubisoft having still having troubles with X-Defiant as they, you know, failed their certification stuff on the consoles, and now has this issue that's just forcing them to continually push it more and more. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there you go. More trouble for Ubisoft.
Mm-hmm.
But let's get to something a little less serious here. Nintendo's been, you know, promoting Super Mario Brothers Wonder with some weird little videos and such of the various characters in the game doing stuff. And this one was weird where, you know, it's got Bowser proposing to Peach, and then which is his move often. And then the weird little Wonder fruit shows up and makes Peach turn into the elephant version of herself, and Bowser seems to really be into that.
Yeah.
As he exchanges his single flower for a bouquet of flowers and is like ready to fucking do something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Something that they can't show.
Yeah.
And that's weirdly surprising for a Nintendo thing.
Yeah.
They don't really show characters getting super horny.
Nope.
Especially in promos.
Oh, yeah.
So this is a little thing where, you know, Bowser seems to like them thick.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it's Peach.
Yeah.
It's like, well, why, when you kidnap her, don't you make her eat a bunch of cake or something?
Yeah.
She likes to make cake, but not eat it too much, I guess.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a weird thing. It's like, all right, cool. No kink shaming to Bowser. Enjoys what he likes.
Yeah.
You think if he likes that, he would go after other women.
Mm.
But no, I guess he wants Peach to be well endowed, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wouldn't actually call this news, but definitely a weird bit of information here.
Oh, yeah.
Looking for the kind of game, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so there you go. Some weird stuff coming out of Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Not often you get Nintendo revealing the kinks of their characters, but there you go.
Yeah.
And yeah, let's get to some news about the Lord of the Rings Gollum.
Mm-hmm.
This report claims that the apology note that we saw back shortly after it launched, that was suggesting that it was written by AI, specifically ChatGPT,
mm-hmm.
Which would make sense because there's a point in that note that called it Lord of Ring, called the property Lord of Ring. And it's like, mm-hmm. that seems like a mistake that ChatGPT would make.
Yep.
As well as other things about it that just doesn't look like it was written by, you know, a person trying to make a ton of sense about it, but
mm-hmm.
it makes a lot of sense that it was potentially written by AI, where it's like, it kind of gets like 90% of the way there to being,
mm-hmm.
you know, a legit written thing. And then you'd look at some of those kind of typos and such, and you're like,
mm-hmm.
either somebody's very sloppy or it was an AI that doesn't know better. And so, yeah, this just seems to be a thing, not really mm-hmm. anything bad or whatever, I guess. You know, they were laying off a bunch of people in the wake of this game's launch anyway, so anything they wrote was just kind of suspect anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there he goes, the weird news that about Gollum. Is it not really any big updates or anything happening for that game?
Mm-hmm.
Most of the dev team was laid off as they focus on publishing now, so
There
you go.
Yep.
Let's see. Next up here, Hideki Kamiya. He has a YouTube channel now.
Yes, he does.
Mainly because he cannot work in the games industry for the next year.
Yep.
Seems like he signed a non-compete clause as part of his severance. Don't feel bad for him. He's literally in his first video riding his Lamborghini, so he'll be fine. He's made enough money here to survive for a year. Especially if he's doing YouTube videos, and probably, yep, they got over 15,000 subscribers already, so you don't have to worry about him. He's going to be fine. But yeah, he definitely mentions, you know, about why he left Platinum Games. He says, you can bleep out, right? How should I put it? How can I put it? There's no way I can put it. You guys understand, right? But I'd say I left the company because I wanted to follow my beliefs as a game creator. and to follow the path I think is right and move on. Yeah, so I'm not going to retire yet. I want to keep creating games. So
mm-hmm.
that's cool. But it's going to take a break for a while. Probably do a lot of work on his own mm-hmm. for things, you know. But yeah, that's a fun thing. So if you want to follow his shenanigans, he has, you know, English and Japanese versions of his videos out there. So you can check out the one you like and see what he's doing in his time off.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there you go. And let's get to some serious news here. John Riccitiello has resigned from Unity.
Mm-hmm.
Their CEO, in the wake of, you know, some of the most tone-deaf announcements I've ever seen a company make about, you know, changes that they're doing with the product to their, you know, their customers.
Oh, yeah.
That they've kind of walked back, but not, you know, really.
No.
You had to see this coming, that it's been so bad for them that, you know, John Riccitiello can't seem to continue in that job
mm-hmm.
For much longer. And nope. Yeah, it seems like that finally happened here.
Yep.
Let's see. James M. Whitehurst, former head of the IBM acquired open software company Red Hat, will take over mm-hmm. as interim CEO while Unity's board of directors search for a new long-term replacement.
Mm.
Yeah, he's been there since 2014, a long time.
Mm.
Shortly after he left EA. And so, yeah, he's certainly going to be perfectly fine. He's made lots of money. Mm-hmm. They'll be getting a new CEO at some point and maybe finding some means of trying to build up the reputation that they used to have and just dumped in the trash to try to, you know, make a lot of money off of developers. So,
mm-hmm.
and just to further reinforce, you don't need to worry about him. He's set to earn up to $8.4 million through stock options over the next 6 months.
Yeah.
In addition to the roughly $253 million he's already holding in current Unity stock. That he can sell off whenever. So that's like $260 some million of stock he's got. So he can take a break for a while until some other job opens up that he can take over for. So yeah, there you go. He's gone from Unity, but we'll see if Unity decides that is a reason to make some changes. But we'll see. But yeah, speaking of changes, Microsoft's Activision Blizzard deal is finally closed
mm-hmm.
after they got final, you know, approval from the CMA in the UK. They have closed it. They put out a trailer that's just a weird thing to see for one of the biggest corporate acquisitions ever made.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little much there, but, you know, Xbox is going to certainly take advantage of having the Blizzard portfolio, the Activision stuff, and as well as King there for mobile games and beef up their catalog of titles.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the big question is like, what happens to Bobby Kotick?
Yeah.
And we have some news on that through a letter he sent out to Activision people. That he was going to be staying in his role for the rest of the year and will be leaving as of January 1st, 2024 with a golden parachute to keep him, you know, warm at night, as you can burn millions of dollars and still have plenty left over for that. So good riddance to him.
Definitely.
Unfortunately, he had to sell his company to get rid of him from that company. Mm-hmm. So there you go for that. That is some bit of good news there from this acquisition.
Mm-hmm.
Though he's not the only person that needs to go from there.
Oh, heavens no. There's a bunch of them.
Yep. But yeah, there you go for that. And the last of the acquisition news is that, you know, the Activision Blizzard Twitter
mm-hmm.
basically put out like Let's see. It's awesome to see anticipation building for Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 as we continue working towards regulatory approval of the Microsoft deal. We've been getting some questions whether our upcoming and recently launched games will be available via Game Pass. While we do not have plans to put Modern Warfare 3 or Diablo 4 into Game Pass this year, once the deal closes, we expect to start working with Xbox to bring our titles to more players around the world. We anticipate that we would begin adding games into Game Pass sometime in the course of next year. So basically, don't expect like Diablo 4, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 on there for the time being, but probably next year at some point. And I imagine they'll put up back catalog stuff in the meantime, much like they did with when they got Bethesda. Though I think Bethesda was a lot more immediate with that, but yeah, not too surprising. They'll get that stuff up on there, especially to fill in some of the gaps they'll have in there.
Yeah, definitely.
With things going up on Game Pass, so yeah, there you go. Any thoughts on the acquisition and all that at this point?
Only that I'm glad that he's finally going. That man is a human leech, and I'm glad that he's, stepping down as CEO. My only fear is that somebody worse than him might possibly take his place. So,
yeah. What about you, Danro?
Yeah, I mean, on the topic of Kotick, I'm pretty confident there won't be anybody worse taking his place, just because like he's probably as bad as it gets. But you know, we've been wrong before, and I guess it wouldn't be surprising. But I guess it would surprise me just because he's been detrimental to just about anything his name is on. So I mean, except for the bottom lines. But yeah, as for my analysis here, usually with a big acquisition like this, the CEO of the company acquired typically leaves within a set amount of time. So this doesn't surprise me at all. It's unfortunate that it had to take this to get him to go away, but hey, he's going away. And the other unfortunate thing is he's going away with a big bag, but hopefully that big bag means he's not doing anything else. He can just happily retire and deal with his own crap that way. So as you said earlier, good riddance. And then as for the actual acquisition, we've known that this was going to happen for about a year. There were obviously a few snags along the road, but there was really nothing that was going to keep this from happening. And all of the snags were pretty much just gotten rid of pretty quickly. So, congratulations to Microsoft for getting this done. Even after acquiring Activision Blizzard, while they definitely have a much more impressive portfolio, I still think there's a lot more they can do in order to grab the stranglehold of the industry they want as far as their IPs goes. But they definitely do have some powerful ones now. Obviously, with Call of Duty signing that deal, that'll keep it on Nintendo and PlayStation for a while. We're not going to see any real fruit with that. But depending on how things go with Game Pass, we'll see how it goes from there. And then with the announcement that new games won't be on Game Pass this year, that's probably because there's a whole lot of red tape that they have to deal with. But at the same time, aside from Call of Duty, I don't even know what came out from Activision this year. So, hopefully this acquisition allows them to, maybe bring back a few studios, maybe have Toys for Bob exist again, maybe have a new Spyro, have a new Crash Bandicoot, have a new Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. Phil Spencer, even though a lot of negativity came out of these court dealings, to the gaming public, he's definitely one of us, or as close to one of us as a head of a publisher should be. So, hopefully he'll allow the studios to just grow the way they want without worrying too much about the bottom line, because at the end of the day, we know Microsoft can go ahead and throw money around, but do they have the games or exclusive games to really just be the force that they want to be? My general thoughts on, keeping all these companies concise is different. I don't want to see any more layoffs, and we've reported on that too many times this year. I hope it works out well for both sides, and I hope we see good games, especially on the Microsoft side, that actually make people want to get an Xbox versus a PS5. So, yeah.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how things start to iron out here as we get into the new year, as they start to figure out what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. I'd imagine there's probably, as much as people are like, oh, they should do new Crash Bandicoot or new Spyro the Dragon or new this or new that. They'll probably take it easy on that stuff. Because, you know, a lot of studios that did work on some of that stuff have, you know, shrunk to change into other types of support studios and such. And, you know, you're going to have to build them back up if you're going to work on a full-fledged game versus making, you know, content for other stuff that they were working on, that kind of stuff. Especially if they're going to do a huge restructuring of Activision Blizzard to, you know, reform studios around different identities and all that kind of stuff. Because, you know, like Vicarious Visions changed into Blizzard Albany, and that's to make, you know, to work on Diablo stuff, and, you know, putting them back into Vicarious Visions would be a big undertaking. And yeah, I don't know how easy that is to sort of, you know, control Z what Activision's done to some of these companies over the last, you know, few years, if not last decade or so. So, yeah, I think it's not going to be as easy as just people speculating about things they could do. Especially like crossover stuff of like, oh, they should do a kart racing game or, you know, Smash Brothers or whatever. And it's like, they'll probably just continue on the course they've been working on for a bit before they are able to really figure out how to straighten everything out to the way that they would like things to work. So, yeah, I think it's that's going to do it for this week.
All right.
We've got a bunch of stuff coming out here over the next week. Let's see. Sonic Superstars, Wizard with a Gun.
Mm-hmm.
We got Spider-Man 2 and Super Mario Brothers Wonder.
Mm-hmm.
World of Horror, a bunch of stuff. A new Jackbox, the 10th one of those.
Mm-hmm.
That's how long that's been out. They reached 10. So lots of games coming out this week here, and yeah, looking forward to at least two of those games, Mario and Spider-Man, both of which come out the same day, so that's going to be fun to try to figure out the financial stuff and all that. So yeah, we'll probably be talking about some of that stuff here next week, so look forward to that. Thank you to Brandon and Danver for joining this week,
always.
We'll be back next week with a new slate of news and things to talk about. If you enjoy the show, feel free to let friends and family know that they should check it out. And select strangers that are also trying to figure out how to get Mario and Spider-Man at the same time.
Yeah, seriously.
And find time for both of them.
Seriously, yeah.
So, yeah, thank you all for tuning in. Hope you have a good week ahead. We'll see you all next time. Have a good one.